Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars, until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free, no strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
It's Thursday, January 14th, 2021. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Here in Calgary, there exists a phenomenon known as the Chinook headache or the Chinook migraine.
Mm-hmm.
It's when a Chinook blows through. Some people are susceptible to migraines at that time. And I don't know if I 100% believe it. I mean, the theory is kind of sound, that there's a pressure change that happens in the air, and that's what triggers the headache. But I think I talked about this on the show a couple of years ago, maybe, where I looked into some of the research that's been done, and it's not conclusive that Chinooks do make migraines happen or make them worse. It may just be that some people are prone to migraines and there are other triggers and they just happen to line up on Chinook days.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I, Shauna, have both had nasty headaches for the last couple days.
Holy, yeah. Mine, yesterday I was bragging because you were mentioning you had a headache and I was like, oh, I didn't get one this time around. And I don't always, and I wouldn't say that I'm prone to those migraines like a lot of people, but the odd time I have gotten one, and I didn't for the last while, and we've had Chinooks in and out nonstop. Now, just as I said that yesterday, I woke up this morning with the worst headache I've had in a very long time. I was just like, immediately went to grab drugs and was like, okay, let's try and get this under control. But drugs don't really help it either, I find.
You need pretty strong drugs to touch these headaches.
And
like,
I don't.
Just
I've
an Advil or Tylenol won't do it.
That's what I tried, and it did not work.
No.
So it's still there. It's still there.
And like you said, this whole winter has basically been one long Chinook so far. So why would it just flare up now?
Weird.
But also, why would we get it at the same time?
I know.
And like mine was behind my right eye.
Uh-huh.
And if I moved my head, it made it worse. If I like sat up or stood up too fast, it was pounding.
Yep. Yep, that's how mine feels right now. Although, I've had ones before where it actually blurs my vision.
Yes.
And that didn't happen this morning, which is nice. Because sometimes that happens and then I'm like, I can't drive. Like, if that were to happen this morning, I would have been like, I'm not sure how I'm going to get to work today. I can't really see out of this part of my brain.
I know.
Weird.
It's kind of useless when it's when it's like that, so.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that goes away.
Uh-huh.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
So the NHL season kicked off last night, and before the opening face-off in the Pittsburgh-Philly game, the referee, Kelly Sutherland, gave this odd speech.
I missed this.
Yeah, I got a clip for you here. This is what he said when everyone was lined up for the face-off, and he went to drop the puck and then stopped and said this.
Gentlemen, we've all waited with excitement for this day. Welcome to the start of the NHL 2021 season. Best wishes to all of you. Stay safe, stay healthy. Let's have a great battle.
Sounds like the beginning of a thumb war.
It was very
strange,
unusual. I've never seen that before. And the players seemed confused, too.
Yeah.
Because they all leaned in for the drop of the puck, and then he started talking, and they all stood up again. And the two centermen, Sidney Crosby and Sean Couturier, they just kind of stood there awkwardly.
Well, especially
looking at him like, what's this guy doing?
You're leaning in and you're kind of leaning in your stick ready to go. Yeah. And then this, and you're like slowly like, oh, just kidding.
The wingers were already kind of bumping and then he started talking.
Yeah. And like, oh.
So I don't know if the league told him to do that or if he just took advantage of the fact that he had a microphone and the cameras were on him at that moment.
I have something to say.
Hang on. I know we're all waiting for hockey, but I'd like to say a few things if I could. It was just
weird.
It was so strange.
Huh.
Drop the puck, you goof!
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
It's Girl Guide cookie season. I just saw my first post about the Girl Guide cookies. You know, everybody always rants and raves about how good those cookies are, and I have an unpopular opinion about them, but I don't like them. I was never a big fan.
Whoa.
Yeah. I had to sell them when I was in Girl Guides. I had to go to door to door, convincing people of the deliciousness of these cookies, but I have
You didn't believe it yourself?
No. I would have much preferred a classic Oreo or a Chewy Chips Ahoy.
This might be the most controversial thing you've ever said on this show.
Really?
Yeah, it's up there.
They just never really did it for me. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Too dry?
I guess. They just seemed like a kind of cheaper version of the cookies I truly loved. You know, I don't know what it is. The mint ones, it's like, okay, I get it. I do like mint cookies and stuff. Uh-huh. That one, I don't know. Didn't do it for me. The U.S. is coming out with a flavor, a new one for their cookies. It's supposed to be modeled after some sort of French toast taste.
Okay.
And I already am on board with that more than I am the classic Girl Guide cookies, I think.
Did the Girl Guide cookies ever do like chocolate dipped ones, or did I imagine that?
Yep. Yeah, but it was those were the mint ones. So there's two types, right? There's the white and the brown ones with the filling in the middle.
Right.
And then there's the mint ones.
The classic Girl Guide cookies.
Yeah. And then the mint chocolate covered things.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just had to get this off my chest. I always see people rant, like just going crazy for these Girl Guide cookies. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't see what the hype's about.
In terms of a store-bought cookie, what would you put ahead of
everything,
the Girl Guide
cookies? Everything, just about.
Oh, wow.
Like,
oh,
I'd put Dad's oatmeal cookies ahead of it. I'd put arrowroot in front of the Girl Guide cookies.
I was willing to hear you out until you said Dad's. Mm. Those Dad's cookies are like,
Dad's chocolate
I'd almost
chip
rather
oatmeal.
Have nothing.
No, I'd go for those.
Your grandma has Dad's cookies at her...
Give me one of them wafers that your kid eats when they don't have any teeth. I'd prefer that.
That's an arrowroot cookie. Yeah.
Yep.
What
Seriously.
About the Voortman's wafers? You'd rather have a Voortman's than a... Those are drier than a fart, too, but...
Yeah, that one's might be where I draw the line.
What is the Cadillac of store-bought cookies? Because, I mean, if you're going to go outside of like what you can get in a package in a grocery store, we could go Cookies by George, which are just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Or any of these boutique
bakeries. Well, the boutique
that
cookies
make.
Always win, there's obviously.
There's a place in New York, and it was a half-hour lineup to get in to get these cookies, but damn if it wasn't the best cookie I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
It was like dough on the inside and kind of crackled on the outside.
We've got some really good places around here that make some good homemade cookies, too.
Do we now?
If we're going to store-bought, like, you know, classic, an Oreo, Rainbow Chips Ahoy cookies as a kid.
The Decadent from President's Choice is a good one as well.
The Decadent is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dad's, though?
Yeah.
Jeez, you had me with the rest of it until you said Dad's.
It's because you don't eat anything. Like, there's oatmeal in it. That's too healthy for you.
Yeah, it's not a treat. You're like, oh, what is this, the 1930s? This is a sweet?
Anything for you that has anything slightly healthy, you're like, oh, God,
that was a treat during the Depression.
It has a raisin?
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Earlier this week, we were talking about gender-neutral fashion, which is apparently very in, you were saying.
Yeah, just... Whatever, if you like it, take it. Go for it.
And you and I both said we're cool with that.
Yeah.
But I got a message from a friend of the show, and this friend said he is not cool with that. And not because he's bigoted or anything, but because he had a bit of trouble trying to buy from a store that went with kind of a gender-neutral model.
Oh.
And I'll tell you this. I'll just read what he said here. And I won't say where the store was, but he went to buy a winter coat in the spring when they were on sale. And said, looked around and said, okay, asked an employee, where's the men's clothes, and the worker told me ever so condescendingly that the coats weren't organized like that. So he said it was a pain in the ass trying to pick something out, and I finally found one and decided this is just a little small. I'll grab the next size up. He said he didn't try on the next size up. He just grabbed it, assumed it would fit, went home, and then, of course, this winter tried it on, and he said it was real tight in the shoulders and kind of flared out at the bottom, and he looked up model number and realized it was, in fact, a woman's coat. But because it's been months... They wouldn't let him return it, so he's like, I was out $350.
Oh, crap.
And he said, if you want to dress like one gender or the other, I have no problem with that. He's like, but don't confuse everyone for the sake of a few.
Yeah.
Because he's saying. Like, I've had trouble walking into a store before and looking around and thinking, am I in the men's or the women's section? And maybe some stores don't have designated men's and women's sections anymore.
Yeah. I mean, as this continues to become a trend, what will happen is you'll just have more generic sizing and clothing will have to work for both, right?
I guess you'll have
to just watch and look. And if it has that flair and you don't necessarily like that, that's cool. But some men might, right? So
yeah, I think the average man and the average woman are shaped quite differently, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
like,
again,
what size of a shirt do you wear, Shauna?
It depends. I go from small to large. Like, this is a men's hoodie I have on right now, actually.
Okay.
But again, it differs on that style. And I think that's what's changing a little bit, right? Is mm-hmm. that some women like the maybe more boxy fit that was generally or used to be designed for a man, and vice versa. Some men like maybe something a little
more
tighter
fitted.
Or more fitted now. And so, but we are kind of in maybe a transition phase right now. So if you're not aware of that, and this gentleman assumed it was men, you'd think
yeah.
it would fit a certain way. And then you'd be like, oh, well, that's not what I was thinking. But
mm-hmm.
so maybe over time it'll
change. Like you and I have different body shapes, not just the size of us, mm-hmm. the difference between the size of us, but we're shaped differently too, right?
But yeah, so, I mean, maybe you'll like the fit of something that is meant for this type
I
of
guess
body,
so.
You know, like maybe.
I mean, a big part of it is that the fact that he didn't try the jacket on.
Yeah.
A lot of that stems back to that. But I also understand his confusion where mm-hmm. it's like, I'm looking for something that is cut to fit my body type.
Yeah, so the tapered look wasn't what he was going for when he...
No, I don't even think he fitted it. Like, I don't think
yeah.
he can wear it, so...
Darn.
Yeah, now he's got a $350 ladies jacket and no lady to put it on.
Kijiji?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
How much luck would you say is involved in sports? Like if... Let me hear me out.
Sure.
Here. If you're a really good athlete, okay, obviously skill is going to get you far. But how much luck do you think has to be tied to that skill?
So you're not talking like in an individual game, you're talking about the career of an athlete.
The career of an athlete as a whole.
Okay.
Like I was thinking about radio, for example. And if you're good, that's obviously going to get you somewhere. But I feel like there is quite a bit of luck involved in this career for us as well. Like you have to network with the right people. Somebody has to move out of a position to make room for you. You have to find a station that's willing to take a chance on you. You have to perform well, but that is in part related to the timing of the popularity of the music you're playing. Like there seems mm-hmm. to be a lot of factors in this career on top of skill that help you.
I love this topic of conversation, Shauna, because I got a strong opinion on it. I agree with you. There is a ton of luck involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people who are successful have a tendency to downplay the good fortune that they had and kind of build up the fact that they worked hard and were talented, which is true.
Yeah.
But I mean, you bring up radio, for example. Obviously we worked hard to get here, and this isn't, if you're unaware in the industry, this is a very desirable position to mm-hmm. do mornings at X. We're very lucky to be here. But we caught breaks along the way.
Oh yeah.
Timing and like coming into the business at the right time and someone moves on at the right time.
Yep.
And it all has to, so many things have to go right to get here.
I talk about the horseshoes up my ass all the time and people are like, what? And I'm like, yeah. And people, oh no, but you're, and no, there's a lot of luck involved.
Now in sports, I think it's maybe a little bit different because if you're a standout athlete and mm-hmm. you dominate in every league you play in or at every competition you're at, eventually you're going to rise to the top.
Yeah.
But there are so many... There are so many factors that play into it even then. Like, I quit hockey when I was 14, and already the politics were becoming too much for me at that point. And I'm sure it just gets worse after that. Like,
yeah.
do you have a coach that, mm-hmm. that gives you a lot of ice time because they really like you? Or do you get seen by the right scouts and they have a gap in their roster that you just happen to fit? Or...
And that's what I wonder, you know, when it comes to the coaches, right? How much power do they actually hold in terms of if they like you or not and the breaks or the opportunities you could get because of that factor alone?
A friend of mine who plays in the NHL has said that in terms of making it to the NHL, who your coach is in the AHL is so important, if they like you or not. He said the NHL clubs are so busy with what they have going on,
right.
they don't watch a lot of their farm teams. So they'll ask the coach, you know, we need a guy who's good. And it's kind of up to the coach if you get that call or not.
And somebody who's so, way up north or somewhere where you don't have the access to scouts or those elite level
yep.
coaches, you're...
Or you come from a family that just doesn't have the money
yeah.
to put you in.
Not even to mention that.
Like there's so many factors that play into like that. And I think maybe more than anywhere in music.
Mm-hmm.
To make it in music, like that could be the difference between, you know, being a bar band who plays Friday, Saturday night for a few hundred bucks and having a massive career where you tour all over the place. That could be the difference between like the right person hearing your song in line at a grocery store or something. Like it's so... That is so fleeting, that success. And it's so...
Yeah.
Like it hangs in the balance, right?
Yeah. We were just talking about the band Cannons recently and how their song was kind of discovered because Netflix took a chance, played their song. That helped the exposure.
But who on Netflix
exactly.
heard them? Was that the right
who
gig?
The
and they like,
I know.
Had the decision, had the power to make that decision?
Yep.
And like, there's so many factors. Like, I think that some of the best bands in the world probably were never heard by anybody. They
absolutely.
Just played to nobody and then lost interest and moved on. But
yeah, the best band in the world right now is probably some band that no one's ever going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that there's a bit of survivorship bias where, like, if you work hard and follow your dreams, you'll make it. But there's so much more to it than that. You do have to do that still. Mm-hmm.
You do. You have to work your ass off, but then you got to have a horseshoe up your ass.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I said I could talk about this topic forever, and I wasn't kidding. But you said something after we turned off the mic, Shona, that I really liked about how you react to instances of bad luck in your career, in your life.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge part of it as well. We talk about luck, but then... yeah, it's about how you react to that luck, rather bad or good. You know, if you have a bad break and you immediately shut down and just go, well, that's that. Like, or there's a lot of people, I think, who go, well, the world's against me. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, the universe. I always have bad luck. Oh, I always, you know, that's, I think, a really bad outlook. And I think a lot of people, as humans, we like to complain and we like to complain to one another. And we kind of get these groups of complaining because it's something that everybody can relate to. And I think that's kind of a bad way to relate to people, you know, like.
I think so, too. And also, you know, if you do catch a bad break, you focus on that instead of the good breaks you're also currently catching.
Like, yeah. Yeah. You focus all your energy on the negative and there's all this positive happening that you don't even see because of it. Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe career wise, you're not exactly where you want to be, whether you're an athlete or a musician or a radio DJ. But I think one of the questions you could ask yourself is, okay, this isn't an ideal situation for me right now, but how am I using it to get to where I want to be?
Yeah. Well, very early on in my radio career, I was working in Edmonton. It was kind of my dream gig at the time. And then that station flipped formats. I lost my job and I got an invite to work in Regina. I started in 2 weeks and I work in Regina. And at the time, that was absolutely devastating to me. And then I'm going from a major market to a smaller market. I'm moving to Regina. And there was a lot of stuff that with that, that even the DJs at the station I went to in Regina, because I did choose to go there, they were like, we thought you'd have like stick up your ass and you'd be super angry about and bitter about everything because you went from this big market down to a smaller one. But instead I was just like, sweet, like how do we make the best of this? And I had a blast there. I made some great friends. I had such a good time at that station. Everything went really well. And I think it was, yeah, because I had a fork in the road there. I could have gone to Regina and been super bitter and been like, I'm above this. And you can have
or not gone.
Yeah, or not gone and just chanced it and maybe never gotten a break again. But I didn't. And I had a great time.
And it worked out for you.
And it worked out.
Because it eventually got you here.
Mm-hmm. So
I know. I think in a way, we make our own luck sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there are factors that are out of your control that are going to happen. But the question is, how do you react when you have bad breaks? And are you ready for it when you do catch a good break?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because this is almost coming full circle, because as much as we talked about luck is a big thing, I also think that, yeah, we kind of make that luck.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Credit cards, line of credit, car loans, personal loans. We all have debt, and House of Cars wants to wipe it away. Now until January 15th, enter to win the Wipe Your Debt contest at houseofcarscalgary.com. House of Cars, Alberta's top choice dealer 5 years in a row. Often imitated, never duplicated.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
My wife McKenna has a problem, and I'm worried about her.
Oh.
And that problem is returning items that she's purchased.
Oh, so okay.
She loves to return things, like to buy things and return them. So I think like the retail industry has gotten to the point where it's become so easy to return things that, you know, she just buys things without really thinking about it. And then if it doesn't work out, she just returns them if it's not the right thing or if she doesn't need it or.
Especially with online buying. Now that everyone's shifting to like trying to tell you to buy, you know, from their online store or whatever, you have to be good with returns because people can't try them on in the store. So.
But she does this with online things. She does it with things she buys in the store.
Oh, okay.
She has like a friggin' stack of items to be returned at the back door of our house.
Oh, boy.
And my email is full of all these return slips from things she's purchased online. I wouldn't even be surprised if she's starting to know the people at the customer service desk by name.
All right, that's getting a little out of hand there.
Spending so much time there.
A little out of hand.
And I'm the opposite. Like, I will stand in a store make it forever, looking at the item, making sure it's exactly what I need. I'll bring a tape measure if I have to. I'll bring photos if I have to. I'll read reviews and look online. I consider my time to be quite valuable. And time spent returning things is time wasted. That's time I'm not getting something more productive done.
It's true.
But I mean, not to mention, I mean, the resources that you waste when you're returning things and repackaging them and shipping things back and forth. And that bothers me as well. But I was thinking, like, in her defense, she's also often shopping with our kids.
Right.
Which is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
So she can't afford to stand there and think about it forever like I can. She needs to grab something and get out before the wheels come off the bus.
True. Yeah. That makes sense. You know, my mom, I remember even her doing that when I was younger, because she wouldn't have the time. So she really needed something for whatever. And she'd run in and she'd grab it and be like, oh, hopefully this fits or this works. And if not, she'd have to go back and return it. So yeah, you're right. If you're out of time, then you might have to do that. But that's a little bit different than becoming a hobbyist at returning, you know, like.
Yeah, it's like something to do.
Like something to.
I don't think she does it as like something to do. She's not quite there yet. My aunt used to work at this clothing store for older ladies, and she said that the same people would come in every week and buy things, and she knew that they would be back later that week to return them because they just had nothing else going on. It was just something to do.
Which is sad.
Super sad.
Yeah.
I also think that depending on, you know, the store you're buying from, some of them don't treat the vendors too well when it comes to returns. Like a product will be returned and it's just sent back to the vendor. It's like, hey, your problem.
Oh,
and the vendor,
that's a problem.
If it's a big enough store, the vendor doesn't really have a lot of power.
Yeah.
They have no choice but to go along with it. It's either that or the store doesn't carry your product.
Or you resell things much lower, right? You have to.
Yeah,
when
maybe.
It's an open box special or something, an electronics store, and they'll be like, well, it was returned, so you get a bit off, but then they lose money in that, right?
Yeah. I just don't like returns if I don't have to do it.
No.
And McKenna?
Me neither.
Loves returns. I always say, you'll have to talk to McKenna in returns about that.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I went to this restaurant in Vegas last year, and I was trying to remember what it was called, so I was kind of perusing online for it last night, and I stumbled across the menu for this other quite fancy restaurant, and this is what it said in the details, okay, the description for a menu item. Foraged microgreens with citrus segments. And I read this, and
there's
I was like...
There's a sentence, hey?
Okay, first off, like, you didn't forage that lettuce. Okay, you didn't...
Maybe they did.
You went into the forest in Vegas, right in the middle of the desert there, and you handpicked the leaves yourself?
Maybe they have a forager in the Pacific Northwest that they employ.
You're right, maybe.
Maybe they have an elderly mushroom picker who they send out.
You know what? You're probably... Maybe they do, right? Okay. Then they fly in via helicopter. So maybe, okay? Also, citrus segments...
What is that?
We're talking orange slices here.
Oh, okay.
Like this is a ridiculously over-the-top way of describing orange slices.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay. Like, that's like, you know, soccer mom showing up at soccer practice with a bunch of orange slices. They're like, hey, kids, would you like some citrus segments?
That's what, like, polo teams eat in between periods. Really uppity polo players.
Yeah.
Who's Mumsy brought the citrus segments?
Mumsy, could you please get me a citrus segment? Wash it for me first. Like, come on.
Segments of citrus, please.
Come on.
We need to recuperate.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Yesterday, the World Health Organization warned that this year, 2021, the pandemic's second year, could be even worse.
Oh, God.
They said a number of factors in the Northern Hemisphere are ramping up the spread, including colder weather, indoor gatherings. They also said we are not expected to reach herd immunity this calendar year. And I read into this a bit, and they said for herd immunity, we need 75% to 80% of people to either be vaccinated or to have developed immunity through infection.
Right.
But then you have to factor in kids under 16 who aren't able to get the vaccine. So then you need an even higher percentage of adults to be vaccinated in order to achieve herd immunity. And so far, the rollout has been kind of slow.
Yeah.
You know, Shana, we keep hearing this message that, you know, we're close and the end is in sight. And if we can only buckle down, won't be too much longer of this. But then you hear stuff like this. And I'm like, will it? Or, you know, I asked you this question yesterday. What if one of these mutations, these variants of COVID-19, is not covered by the vaccine? What then?
Yeah, and when that first variant from the UK came out, I know that some of, like, I don't know if it was Pfizer or Moderna had brought that up and said it would be easy for them to, of course, mutate the vaccine to include that and cover, you know, help that as well. But then you, of course, have to do the whole rollout again. Which
you're
is
right, depending how deep into the rollout we are. If we have half of the population vaccinated and then there's a mutation that you have to start again, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound all doom and gloom.
No.
Especially because, I mean, you and I are both excited that the vaccine is being administered. It's here.
I was going to say, the fact that we have a vaccine right now is still something that we should be happy about, right?
Definitely. And you and I both know people who have got it. My brother's had both of his doses. A few nurse friends I have on Instagram were getting doses this week, which is all good. And secondly, Alberta's numbers are trending in the right direction right now.
Yes, they are.
I also didn't realize that our contact tracing has recovered quite a bit. Like there was a time there where something like, what was it, 80-some% of cases had no known source.
Yeah.
And now 47% of cases have no known source. So
which is good.
We're doing better than we were a few months ago.
And those are all things to focus on for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to stay optimistic, but I'm also like mentally preparing for the possibility that we could be in this longer than some people are talking about when they say the end is in sight.
Mm-hmm. I know. You have to be cautiously optimistic, I suppose.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was looking at a pair of pants online yesterday, and they called themselves rib cage pants. Rib cage pants came up.
Is it because they go up to your rib cage?
Yes.
Wow.
Like, forget high-waisted pants. Now we're standing up to our rib cages here.
Those are some tall-ass pants.
Holy.
So I guess, like, under-boob pants would be next, and then eventually nipple pants.
Absolutely. Over top and then up to your neck.
Clavicle pants.
Yeah, yeah. Forget turtlenecks. So turtleneck pants. That's what you're going for.
Now we're just wearing a onesie.
It's ridiculous. Okay, honestly. A ninja suit. Just go right up to above your head. There you go. It's so weird because in the description it even says to give you that elongated look. So that's why high-waisted pants are in. It's so you look long. That long look that everybody wants. I mean, I get the whole long legs thing, right? Like there's something about long legs that are desirable. A lot of girls, that's why you wear high heels and extend, you know, beyond that because it makes your legs look longer. But the long body look, like I've never...
Is that in? Is that hot?
I didn't realize that long body was desirable. Do you look at a girl right now and go, oh, look at the
look
long.
Look how long she is.
Look
damn.
Look at that long
she
body.
She goes on forever.
Oh, damn. There's no song about Becky's long body, okay? Like, no one is looking at, oh, yeah, I like your body. It's like a horse face.
Get a load of the length on her.
Holy shit.
Check out Pippi Longbody over here.
not long bottom. Long body.
Long body, long
okay?
fellow deeds. Wow.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
That's the longest lady I ever seen.
I have never seen a lady this long, and I'll never again. My God.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.